What's up, guys? And welcome to the Fielder Church podcast, or the Fielder podcast. I'm not exactly sure. It's one of those two, but I am Becky, and again, I have no business being here. And then we have Sir, our online pastor here. And today, we're talking about something. Okay, pause. Before we even get started, I just need to be real for a second. I have been so anxious about this episode. Like, I've been thinking about it, you know, all day, today and then yesterday, and I was just like, God, protect us from being hypocrites as we talk about hypocrisy. Like, this isn't something that we don't deal with, that we haven't fallen into, you know, like, we are the chief of sinners. And so it's like, I have been so anxious about it because I want to be vulnerable and, like, have my thoughts on it, but also not appear to cast judgment and do the very same thing that we're talking about, you know? So yeah, that's where I'm coming into it. Like, I'm like, oh gosh, please.
Well, I mean, we just prayed about it. Yeah, and honestly, like, I've been feeling the same tension because it's like, I don't want to ask something or even talk about something for somebody else. Yeah. It's like, Lord, examine my heart, reveal the hypocrisy there. And so
we're gonna try our very best, but we're not talking about this in third person as if we don't struggle with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to make that very clear to start out with. And I was like, even thinking about it, and even in my prayer time this morning, I was like, God, is this unease that I feel, like, a conviction against us doing this? Like, do we need to talk about something else? But as I kept on journaling, I just felt the Lord was reminding me of, like, that we're holding this podcast, like, with reverence, like, because it is a vessel unto the Lord. And so, like, that's, like, I want y'all to hear our hearts on that first before we get started. Like, we're not coming at you, slapping you around with Bible, like, or even, you know, haughtiness. We're not on our high horse. Like, we're on the ground level with you guys, and just wanting to have an honest conversation about it. So that's not the introduction I was originally thinking of, but here we are. We're talking about hypocrisy and in the church. And I was thinking about it, and I try to recreate it in Google, like, you know, whenever you type in the search bar, like, why do dogs do, and then it shows you all of the options. I wanted to see, because I've seen it before, like, that why are Christians hypocrites, like, was always the number one search. But I think my algorithm is all messed up because it wasn't showing me any of that, and I was like, okay. Let's talk about first, let's define what a hypocrite is. Like, so why don't you, let's try.
Yeah, no, I think a hypocrite is just somebody who puts on a mask. They are one way behind the mask, but they put on a mask in order to portray a certain type of person, a certain type of, you know, that they're not actually. Yeah.
Right.
But then when you remove the mask, that's who you really are.
Yeah, you see the truth.
So it's to not be a hypocrite. Like, I'm thinking about that meme. You've seen that, where it's like, I don't know, you put on the mask and the dude that's crying behind it, like, I'm not mad, and then it's like he's crying. And
yeah, so, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. I pulled up the Oxford Dictionary,
yes, we love Oxford.
Courtesy of Google. Get a Google near you. And it says, the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. And then it talked about the origin of the word, which is like Middle English, but the part that I got, that I took from it, was that one of the root words is pretend. Like, it's about pretending. And so just like, that's just, I feel like a good way to summarize it in layman's terms, like, what hypocrite is just like, you're pretending, and I don't know, like, I think the heart posture behind hypocrisy is obviously a sin, you know, like the Bible talks about it very clearly. We'll get more into that in a little bit, but I think it's also like wanting to be seen a certain way. Yeah. Like, that's your reward, is that you want to be seen by, perceived by other people a different way, but you're not willing to live the sacrifice of what you're preaching, which is, you know, which is pretty obvious. So, like, I think two questions that first came to mind when we were talking about this podcast was, like, have we ever experienced hypocrisy? Like, have we been on the receiving end of it? And a harder question, have we ever participated in it? Have we ever been hypocrites? So what are your thoughts?
I think the obvious answer to both of those, I mean,
yes.
Yes. That's
yes,
why we're
yes.
making this podcast.
Yeah.
First of all, I think a safe place to start is with Jesus. Like, as you were talking about what a hypocrite is, it's like, well, Jesus isn't. Mm. you know? And I'm just thinking about, you're talking about like playing pretend. Jesus
never did.
Never played pretend. He was who he was through and through. Wherever he was, with whoever he was, in whatever circumstance he found himself in, Jesus was Jesus. Jesus is God. He lived the perfect life in all areas, even when he was tempted, even at the, you know, in the wilderness, like Jesus was Jesus through and through. Yeah. And it's like, we, as we're followers of Jesus, apprentices of Jesus, man, we're called to be like Jesus. And I think that's like the striving. That's for me, is like, that's the starting place. It starts with Jesus.
Yeah.
He wasn't a hypocrite.
Right.
Therefore, in my life, am I, man, let me remove all hypocrisy and be who I am through and through, just like Jesus in every area.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. And I like how I talk about her all the time. You're going to hear me reference her all the time, but Jackie Hill Perry, I freaking love her. Oh my gosh, I love her so much. If I ever met her, I would probably pass out. But anyways, she talks about whenever she reads scripture, she's like, where is Jesus in this scripture? And it has honestly changed how I read, even like Psalms, you know, like it changes everything whenever you're constantly looking for Jesus in what you read. And even in just these life opportunities, like, you know, again, like our call as believers is that we are to emulate Jesus. Like we're called to look like him, constantly be in a process of like sanctification, of, you know, destroying the idols that exist in our lives and rebuilding our foundation on Christ. And so, but that being said, we're going to miss the mark, you know, like we needed Jesus because we're not going to be perfect. And I have friends that aren't believers, that, you know, they're some of my closest friends and I love them dearly. But I will, you know, not lie that, you know, I didn't get saved until I was 24. So I think like I lived enough life outside of the church and even in the church as a cultural Christian, which we talked about last episode. But I think that was like kind of one of the core mindsets that I had about Christians is like, they're all hypocrites. Like they say all these things, like, and I think that's a common theme whenever people that don't believe in Christ or don't, you know, don't believe in, don't, aren't Christians. Like that is one thing that they commonly refer to, which is that we're hypocrites. And let me be the first to shatter the glass. They're right. You know, like we are, and that's a tough thing to process that we are sinners, but we are going to miss the mark. You know, that's what the word sin means, is missing the mark. And you know, like I have been on the receiving end of it as a non-believer and as a believer. And it sucks every single time, you know, like because you get angry at the people that are pointing the fingers, and you get frustrated because they're casting judgment on you that you know they're not living by. But there's also a hurt that comes with that too, because, you know, you're being, they're being condescending or they're looking down on you, and that's never a good feeling. But, you know, whenever I think of all the times that I've been hypocritical, I, as a believer and as an unbeliever, because we talked about cultural Christianity, like those, you know, you're a hypocrite. Like literally the definition of like, or a common symptom of being a cultural Christian is that you're a hypocrite. And so even whenever I was a cultural Christian, I was such a hypocrite. Like I was so self-righteous. Like I was like, because I knew all the Bible stories, you know, like I didn't know the gospel, but I knew all the Bible stories and I knew, you know, out of context, Leviticus verses about things that you were not and supposed to do. And so it was so easy for me to cast judgment because I didn't understand what it was like to walk in grace. You know what I'm saying? And so, and you don't have to be humble when you're an unbeliever, you know, like that's not a requirement of life. And so, but as believers, we're to walk lowly, gentle in spirit, you know.
Speaking the truth in love.
Like, and have, you know, like I even think about Jesus with the woman at the well. She was hiding because she had received so much judgment and probably hypocrisy. I'm not going to speak that into scripture where it's not written, but you know, like, and so she was going for water in the middle of the day, the hottest time of the day. So she could be alone, and Jesus saw her and found her there and didn't speak, you know, harshly against her, but spoke lovingly to her. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it is a hard thing to process, And it's, you know, I feel like it, scripture talks about how like we're constantly to be on guard because the enemy's prowling, seeking to devour us. Yeah. And I think hypocrisy is no different, you know, because it, you have no, we have no idea how much our words impact other people around us. And there was a verse that I read earlier talking about in Matthew 23, and this is Jesus going ham. Like, you should go read the full chapter. It's pretty crazy.
This is like to him, to the Pharisees.
To him, to the Pharisees, to the crowds. Yeah. It says that he's talking to the crowds and his disciples, and the scribes and Pharisees are around. Mm. But he said something about how, let's see, where is it? Mm. It's saying how they tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. Oh. They do all of their deeds to be seen by others. Yeah. And so it's just, again, that constant, that thought of, you know, you're casting judgment, you're expecting others around you to live by a certain standard, but you yourself are not willing to.
That, man, as soon as you said that, it just made me think of, because Jesus is talking to religious leaders. He's talking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the crowds. And look, you tell the people, operate at a certain standard that you yourself don't even lift a finger to do. And I hear that. And I also think like, well, Lord, you've entrusted me to be a shepherd.
Yeah.
You've entrusted me to be a preacher of your word. And like one of the things, I actually have it written in my Bible, like at the very front of it, of my preaching Bible, is like, never preach a sermon you don't first preach to yourself. Mm. Because it's the reality of like, man, I can, man, the Lord, I'll just be honest, like the Lord has gifted me with the ability to preach a sermon. And it's so easy to just be like, oh yeah, this is the application for God's people. But it's like, before I ever get to that point of like, hey man, this is what the word of God says and I need to call his people higher. It's like, Lord, convict me. Yeah. Where am I not living up to what you're asking here? And so every time I preach, that's like the constant battle to not be a hypocrite.
Yeah.
To say, God, here's where
here's a reality. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that takes humility, which I think is like that's humility, I feel like, is a shield against hypocrisy, you know, like, and so it's like, if you walk in a humble spirit, not that you're never going to fail, you know, like I think we all have our moments and our days. But like constantly being humble. And if you find yourself being a hypocrite, go back and apologize, you know, doesn't, you don't have to be like, I cast judgment on this person. Now I'm a hypocrite, but it's okay. I don't have to see them again. And we can just sweep it under the rug, pretend never talk about it. But like you know, bitterness is so common, in the church and outside of the church. And so like, you know, you don't know what your harsh words can plant in someone's hearts and minds. And I'm, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, even as much as recent days where I cast judgment as a way to justify, or like as a way almost to like vindicate myself from what's been done to me, you know, like, does that make sense? And so it's like, it's, I don't know, I feel like I'm constantly trying to prove my innocence in a way. And so whenever it comes to harsh situations, and I just, you know, become a hypocrite because I'm like casting, I'm speaking harsh words in my own mind. You don't have to like, I'm not even having to speak about like my harsh words to others, but like I'm thinking harsh words in my own mind as a way to counteract what has been spoken harshly to me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and so it's like, but that doesn't balance out. Like, that's not how that works. Yeah.
Dang. So. Yeah. No, I'm, as you were saying that, I mean, it really made me think of like, just even like stepping outside of the church sphere for a second, like just everyday hypocrisy. Like my wife gets on to me about this all the time. So I'll be driving, you know?
You idiots.
Yeah, you idiots. You didn't signal, you know? Sometimes I say it a little bit more harshly, like, man, what is this man doing? Cutting me off, you know? Man, he didn't use his blinker. Yo, you know, like.
And then you like merge into three lanes.
And I'll be doing the same, you know? Bro. And it's hypocrisy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, I get called out on that.
Yeah.
All
praise God for your wife calling you out. You know, Carlos, he does, my fiance, he doesn't call me out, but he just drives everywhere. Because I'm not the best. I'm not the most focused driver. Anyways, okay.
But the reason I share that is because when you think about when we have to think about like Christianity within the four walls of the church, but hypocrisy isn't just inside the four walls of the church. Hypocrisy is
everyday life, man. And I'm like, so, and then sometimes I think about that, you know, because I'm like, why is it such a, and you know, let me talk, before I get canceled, like, let me preface this statement by saying we're going to unpack it in a second, but just like, why are Christians, or even any religion really, but like, why are Christians always like, you know, politicians and, you know, teachers, parents can be hypocrites, but whenever Christians does it, it's like such a bigger thing. And I think one of the, like, if you get to the root of that, it's because we are called to a higher purpose. Yeah. We're called to a higher walk of life, you know? We are called to, you know, again, be like Jesus, walk after Jesus. And that is a huge assignment, you know? And so it is a big deal when we do it because we're called to be like Christ, and he is like perfection in like, he is perfection. He is the one that's been, you know, the one that every nation will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. You know, he is the redeemer of the world. And so just like we are, he's a big deal in case we haven't made that clear. Yeah. And so we're called to walk after him. And so that's why it's a big deal whenever we're hypocrites, is because
Jesus is the standard.
And so, yeah, I was just thinking about that even just now while we were talking of just like, that's why it's a big deal.
But before we move on, something you said really stuck with me though, because as you're talking about like Jesus is the standard, why are Christians held to a higher standard? And really when I think about it, it is because of the fact that, and you said it very like beautifully, you said humility is the guard against hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Like when we really are humble about our state before God, like we're all broken.
Yeah.
We're all sinners. We all fail.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And when we recognize that, then it really does prevent us from being hypocrites, because it's like, yeah, I am screwed up, but by the grace and mercy of God, what Christ has done for me, I get to walk this life and live it out and try to be perfect as he is perfect.
Yeah.
And so, man, if there's anything like really, if you're walking away from this podcast, I would just love to encourage you, like humility really is. Humility is your guard against hypocrisy.
Yeah.
That's good.
And that's a trait that, you know, in our flesh, we don't have. We only have access to humility because of Christ and because of the Holy Spirit in us. And so if you are like, I honestly, pride is one of my biggest flaws, or like pride is a sin that I struggle with regularly, pray against that. You know, like we are given those words of authority in our prayers because of our relationship with Christ and with the Holy Spirit inside of us. Like pray, like, God, I am prideful. And I have to pray this all the time because I think, and I literally even journaled this morning, of like how I'm so self-centered sometimes. Like I don't even like my, I just like, I only see my life through my eyes. And I know that that's like humanity in general, but like I push it sometimes. Like I'm just like so in my head about myself and about how I'm perceived. And I have to fight against that. And I have to surrender that to the Lord. Like, and I just, the phrase that the Lord has been bringing up to me in my prayer time recently, more so than anything, is like, my life is not my own. You know, I have been bought at a price, and my life is the Lord. And so like, I have no reason to be self-centered, like if my life is not my own. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, I think all that to say is that we can pray for humility, and the Lord in his kindness will, you know, give us the faith and the grace to walk in that, because it's not something we can do on our own.
And if you can, as you're saying, right, you can pray for humility, and the Lord will humble you, or the Lord will humble you. You know what I'm saying?
And that's scary, bro, because like, that was in a psalm that I read about how the Lord gives grace to the humble but opposes the proud. And so it's like, if God is opposing you because of your pride, like, gosh, like that's a scary thought.
You can either let, you know, choose to be humble now, or he's gonna humble you later, you know what I'm saying?
Dang. Literally. Okay, and I also had another question that I was thinking about. Is being judgmental and being hypocritical the same thing?
Is being judgmental and being hypocritical the same thing? I'm just, we talked about this a little bit before the podcast started, but I was just thinking about Jesus's words, and it's literally, the title of it is Judging Others. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. I'm just going to read it in full. It says, judge not that you be not judged. Mm. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. And
it sounds like it's
right there, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's so plug to the jungle.
Tuesday nights.
Yeah, you know, Tuesday nights, our college ministry and young adult ministry. Pastor Marvin Schaefer, our discipleship pastor here at Fielder, was speaking, and he actually used that passage, and he talks about how God reserves the ultimate judgment. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of our lives, there's a judgment to come.
Yeah.
But we can judge one another, but it's how you judge each other.
Mm.
Are you rightfully recognizing, like, are you using the same standard to judge others to the same? And that's why he talks about, right? Like, before you ever talk about the speck in somebody else's eye,
acknowledge
the log.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The log that's in your own eye
before
ever acknowledging the speck in your brother's eye. And then again, we talked about it already, but it's like, and doing it in love, in humility, right? Because when you recognize the log in your own eye, I can't help but be humble and come to you like, man, you know?
Yeah. And that's an aggressive metaphor, but it's like, but that's the reality of what it's like whenever we sharpen one another. Yes. Like as believers, like that's part of, you know, the job description is like that we're sharpening one another. And I was listening to a pastor, a podcast, and I can't remember who it was, but he was just talking about like whenever you sharpen one another, or whenever you take two knives and try and sharpen them, one of them has to be sharper than the other one. Yeah. Like one of them has to be stronger than the other one. And so there are areas where I am so weak.
Yeah.
Like I am not good in a lot of areas, and that's not the area that I feel I'm equipped to correct someone else. You know what I'm saying? I think like a lot of times whenever I've been able to encourage or even just like, you know, call out sin in a friend's life, it's usually preceded by the statement, I've been learning this, you know, the Lord has been teaching me this. And I think that's just like, I think the Lord is so kind in how he, you know, navigates those things, because he allows me to like walk through something. And it's with that same knowledge that I'm not above someone giving it to someone below me. I am at the same level, like sharing wisdom and God's teachings that he has, you know, brought in my life through very current circumstances most of the time. And so, I agree with you. Like, I think humility really, really sets the tone for all that kind of stuff. And again, in love, speaking it in love. And I think, again, like a harsh word, people carry that for so long, and it plants seeds that they didn't even realize are there. And so, I agree. Just going back to like, being judgmental and hypocritical most of the time go hand in hand. And so just like, again, guarding each other in love against that, and then guarding ourselves with humility and love and empathy.
Yeah, that's good.
I also have, like, what would we want to say to unbelievers or even believers that have experienced judgment or been from a Christian specifically or seen hypocrisy in believers? Like, what would we say to them?
Yeah, that's a really good question. One, I would say I'm sorry on behalf of my brother and sister. It's because I recognize that we are broken people who have been redeemed by our Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but he's still working on us, you know? And as I'm saying that, you know, I recognize that even in my own life as a pastor, right? Like, I'm a pastor of I'm the online pastor here at Fielder Church, and I even have to recognize that, like, I'm flawed, you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes, even if I don't mean it, I can hurt other people because I think a certain way, or I act a certain way, or I say certain things that rub people the wrong way. And like, at the end of the day, all I can say is sorry.
Yeah. Yes. You know? Yes.
I messed up.
Yeah.
forgive me.
Yes.
In humility, like, just recognize that, man, I am broken. And I think that's the starting point. That's
I agree. I think accountability is like the first part, and ownership, you know, ownership, like I own my sin. I'm not like, you know, I think in the process of forgiveness and the redeeming blood of Christ, like the Lord takes ownership of that. But whenever it comes down to it, like Jesus didn't sin for me, you know, like that's all me.
There's still consequences.
And, like, exactly. Yeah. And there's still consequences to it. And so, and so, yeah, I agree. Like, I am so sorry on behalf of believers that you experienced that and that you felt that pain and that burden. Yeah. And we don't want to justify it at all. Like, that's not what we're here to do. Us saying that it's understandable or, you know, we're still broken sinners, even though we're believers, like, that's not us trying to justify our sin, but rather point you to your, like, our respective, our, you know, collective greater need, which is Christ and the blood of Christ. And so, I mean, I think that's so important to state, like, and, you know, I think that could even be a part of the apology process, which is like, I'm still a sinner. And it's, you know, Jesus advocates on my behalf and convicted me and the Holy Spirit convicted me. And I just want to say, I'm sorry. And so I think that's always like a good thing to, because I think hypocrisy for the most part is like pretty under the radar. Like it's a low key sin. Not that it's low key to God, but like it's under the radar. It's very easily hidden.
Well, hypocrisy will be seen, especially over time. One of the things that I'm just, as I'm thinking it through, it's like, for example, if somebody was hurt because of someone else's hypocrisy or judgment on them, like, it's the first step is apologizing and recognizing. But it's like, that's the first step. Reconciliation, healing in the relationship, mending it happens over time and through action. And so, like, yes, I'm sorry, but like, and wanting to apologize for sure. But like, and then comes,
the next part.
Don't
parts.
Be a hypocrite. Like, live out.
That's good.
You know, and it's going to be seen over time.
Yes. Because there's a verse, and I should have literally pulled it up before, but there's a verse where Jesus is talking about how the Pharisees are like whitewashed tombs, and that you will see them by their works.
Yeah.
And this was in COVID. Jason was talking about it, and he was talking about the word sincere. Mm-hmm. And the root word of sincere is sincera, which is without wax. And in that time, it was because there were like sculptures that if they got like chipped or busted, instead of like, because if you chip a sculpture, like it's busted, like it's toe up, like you're not going to be able to salvage that thing. But, you know, people that still wanted to sell it and get away with it, they would put wax, and like if the nose broke off, they would like fill it with wax. And the way that they would test sculptures to make sure that they were like authentic and not chipped and broken is that they would set them in the sun, and the wax would melt it off. And so you could see, you sold me the sculpture, you saw what it actually was. And I remember that metaphor so vividly, just because, you know, I feel like you can test I'm not encouraging testing people, but like you can see again over time the authenticity of what they're saying, again by their works and by their actions. And I was thinking of this verse in James 3 where it's talking about taming of the tongue. And like it says, the tongue is also a fire, a world of evil amongst the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell. And then later on it talks about with the tongue, in verse 9, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. And out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig bear olive trees or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a spring salt spring produce fresh water. And so again, just like that concept of, you know, out of the mouth the heart speaks. And so I think just again, like checking your heart and checking those areas of pride and walking in humility and in love is a good way to like not just protect your own testimony and like if you're, you know, like we all should be living lives of ministry and evangelists as believers. You know, protect your protect God's work in your life. Mm-hmm. It's just like walking in humility and love and just an awareness of like where your flaws are and taking that daily time of cleansing with God. Yeah. Like, you know, God, reveal those areas in my life where I'm not honoring you. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I think that's, I failed on this so recently, you know, it's almost embarrassing to talk about, but that's just the reality, like, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm not perfect. I'm never gonna mm-hmm. be perfect. But I'm going to strive to be like Jesus. Yeah. And so, yeah, I feel like that's ultimately the goal.
I didn't know where you were planning on going.
No, I'm ready.
I had a thought. You were talking about cultural Christianity earlier. And the reality is, right, cultural Christians are hypocrites.
Yeah.
They're playing pretend.
Yeah.
Claiming to be something they're not. There was a statistic that I read in Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer, incredible book so far, I haven't finished it, but he talks about a statistic by a Barna study, and he talks about how in the Western church, church in America specifically, 63% of people, of Americans, identify as Christian, but only 4% would identify as follower, disciple, apprentice of Jesus.
Wow.
That's a scary statistic.
It really is.
That means that in our churches, there are a lot of people who are playing hypocrite.
Pretend.
Right?
Yeah.
They're playing pretend.
Yeah.
Where they're saying, I'm a Christian by name, but in my action, who I am through and through in my day to day, only 4% say I'm a follower, a disciple, an apprentice of Jesus. And that's
sad.
It's sad and
it's so
scary.
Sad, yeah.
It is scary, you know?
Yeah. And again, like, I think, and this is not on topic at all, but no. I've had conversations even as much as recently where believers are frustrated with cultural Christians and they're like, almost like can't stand them, you know, like they're kind of looked at like by as a spoiled brat. And I was a cultural Christian for so long, so this is probably why I have so much more empathy for them. But you know, cultural Christians are living, that is their religion. You know what I'm saying? So like if I'm like the statement of like I can't stand cultural Christians, if you were to insert in cultural Christianity whatever other religion you're thinking of evangelizing to, I can't stand blank. That, like, what does that make you? And you know what I'm saying? So I get so frustrated by when people are like, yeah, like, they're just kind of, and I'm like, that's your, that's our audience, you know? Yes. Like, they are unbelievers. Yeah. Like, that, they are our target audience, you know? And so just, like, I get so frustrated by that, too. And again, I think the Lord had to humble me so harshly by getting me to realize that that was my state for so long, for me to have empathy with it. And so, like, I do get frustrated by it, but there is a way that you can communicate in love even though you're frustrated. Yes. You know what I'm saying? And again, that comes with, like quenching my own flesh and not quenching the Spirit. Like, Spirit, like, I want you to speak through me in love. Like, I had an experience recently where, you know, I'm having a relatively short engagement and I was talking to somebody and they like made a super, I'm not even going to say exactly what they said, but like they made like a super underhanded comment about like how Christians have short engagements, but it was like, it was rude. And and I remember feeling angry because like those of you guys that don't know me and even those that y'all that do know me, anger is my default emotion. So like anytime I feel anything, anger is the first thing I'm going to feel, which again, I'm a broken sinner. The Lord is working on me.
Full transparency.
And so like, I felt immediately angry and there's a thousand things I could have said. But I prayed before I opened my mouth and I was like, God, give me the words to speak. Because I wanted to challenge their mindset while also not trying to come in from a place of defending myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, I as a believer and as a follower of Christ, I don't have to defend myself anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, the Lord is my advocate. God is my advocate. Mm-hmm. And so, anyways, but again, all that to say is like there, I had to ask the Lord to humble me so I could speak truth in a way that was loving, but also challenging. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But anyways, any final thoughts?
Ooh, any final thoughts on all of that?
All this.
Yeah. I think, like, again, just to circle back, we're making this podcast because I think hypocrisy is real.
Yeah.
It's a sin. And whether you're a follower of Jesus or you're a cultural Christian or you're just exploring Christianity and exploring Jesus, like, we all fall into the trap of hypocrisy, where mm-hmm. we're trying to pretend to be something that we're not. And man, let me just be honest with you. Like, as you were sharing your own personal story, like, the thing that came to my mind is, I love my dad. I'm just go there.
Yeah,
just gonna go.
We're
there.
Just gonna be real.
I did this in the first episode. I'm doing it again. Dad, I do love you, Dad. You know, I really do.
Yes, absolutely. Dad. That's true.
I'm not talking myself up here. But it's like, hey, you know, when my mom passed, mm-hmm. it was very quickly that he got remarried, mm-hmm. you know? And I struggled through it. Went to counseling, and I was angry with him. But I would also put on like a front with him, like, but I love you and I support you, Dad, kind of thing. Because there were so many other family members who just didn't understand my dad, like attacking him and just like, how could you get over your wife so quickly and things like that. And like, I understood their side, and there was even hypocrisy for me with them, where it was like, I was telling them, you should love my dad.
But your heart was like.
But my heart was like, I hate you.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
And I was angry. I spoke out words that were hurtful,
yeah,
you know, and I was being a hypocrite there. But even towards my dad, where it was like, I know that Christ tells me, regardless of what my dad has done, I'm gonna love him.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna love him because he's a blood-bought child of the King. I'm gonna love my dad. But inwardly, I was so angry. Mm. I was bitter. I was hurt because I felt the same way that my cousins felt. But I felt like I needed to support him because, you know, he's my dad.
Yeah.
But there came a season of just like counseling, prayer, wrestling with the Lord. It was like, God, I'm tired of being hypocritical. Like, I want to tell my dad that when I love him,
I mean it. Yeah.
I don't hold any bitterness. I don't hold anything. And it really took like months of just like going to the Lord and like, merindo, which is,
yeah,
I surrender.
I surrender. Yeah.
It was a song that I actually sung and I learned in Spanish when my mom passed away. Mm. And when my dad got remarried, it was like me all over again singing this song, but for a different reason of like, God, I surrender my bitterness.
Yes.
I surrender my hatred.
Yes.
I surrender my misunderstandings of him. And God is like, I want to, when I say I love you to my dad,
to mean it.
Mean it.
Yeah.
And that was, again, and it took the Lord humbling me in order for me to get past my own hypocrisy.
That's good. Like, and heavy. It's heavy and it's so real, because I think reconciliation looks different for depending on the situation. And I think loving people also is different. And so, like, mm-hmm. I've had, spats in the past, and you know, reconciliation has at times looked like me asking them for forgiveness, yeah. receiving it if they offer it, and then, you know, things go back to how they were, or things mm-hmm. don't go back to how they were, but they're like kind of similar. And I've also had seasons where, you know, there's reconciliation, there's an apology received and given, and the relationship is never the same,
yeah.
you know, but that is me loving them, mm-hmm. you know, like, because there are some things that you can unhear, but there's seasons where loving them requires more distance.
Yes.
Because I don't want to be fake,
yeah.
or I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to sin against them, or something like that. And so yeah. I think it just looks different, and only the Lord can truly reveal what's necessary for that season. But
that's a good word.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys for joining us on this incredibly long episode.
I don't even know how long that was.
I don't know. I'm not going to think about it. But we're so glad, again, that you guys are watching, wherever you're from. We're going to keep going, keep talking about subjects. If you have any questions, or even if you want to challenge us, like if we said something that you're like, I don't know how I feel about that, like, or have you read the scripture, Yeah, put it in the comments, email it to us at info@fielder.com, and we'll get back to you, or we might even talk about it on a segment or in another episode.
Maybe what if we make that a segment, you know, they ask some questions, or
we can start Q&A. Every episode with like a little Q&A if you guys have any questions or anything you want us to talk about. We have some awesome episodes coming up with some guests in the works, and next week, I'm actually kind of excited about next week. It's not going to be spoiled, but actually, I might kind of spoil it. I kind of want to spoil it.
Just throw it out there. Give it to
them. It's going to be Valentine's Day for us. It's probably not going to be Valentine's Day for y'all, but we still want to celebrate Valentine's Day with y'all. So we're going to have a very special Valentine's Day episode. So we hope to see you then. Mm-hmm. We love you guys. Peace.
Peace.